Let's talk about that Super Bowl yesterday, the game, the halftime show. If you watched, you saw the Cincinnati Bengals lead for much of the second half until the LA Rams did this right at the end of the game. Here's NBC Sports.
Pass. Caught. Got it. Touchdown.
And in the end, Rams 23, Bengals 20. We're joined now by Fox Sports Radio talk show host Andy Furman, who lives near Cincinnati, and Jonas Knox, who's near Los Angeles, to talk about Super Bowl 56. Hello to you both.
How you doing? Good morning.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I'm good. Jonas, let me start with you in the game. What are Rams fans saying were the key moments that gave them the victory?
Well, I mean, I'm still trying to find some, to be honest with you. This is not the, and I say that, I'm kidding. There's obviously Rams fans, but it's different because they didn't have football for so long. So they're just really sort of trying to get to know this team. And I live in Thousand Oaks, California specifically, and the Rams headquarters are, you know, a 3 or 4 minute drive side streets to their front door there. And there's not as much of a buzz. And I actually wonder if now that they've won this Super Bowl, if this only helps increase and start to get a little bit of excitement going. Because I feel guilty. Bengals fans have been waiting all these years to try and win a Super Bowl. And then the Rams just come in after moving from St. Louis back to L.A. and they get it done in like 4 or 5 years. It's a shame.
But as far as the Rams and the game, what were the key moments and the key players?
Key moments was Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald's ability to dominate the Cincinnati offensive line was fantastic. He had the big play at the end. Cooper Kupp was tremendous, especially in that final drive. Converting
wide receiver,
big-time
two touchdowns.
Yeah, he was awesome. So to see those two guys on both sides of the ball, you could argue either one of them is MVP. Ultimately, it went to Cooper Kupp, but they were both the key factors for the Rams in that game.
All right. And Andy Furman, same from you, from the Bengals perspective and Bengals fans who have been rooting for them for decades. What were the key moments for Cincinnati in the game?
Well, I'll say this. You know, you talk about Bengal fans, and what I'm hearing today is like, oh, we'll be back. You don't know if you're going to be back. We caught lightning in a bottle here in Cincinnati this year, and, you know, you got free agency, you got big contracts around the bend, you got injury factors, so you just don't know, and I think it's a shame. You know, I'm a little upset, I'm a little sad because they waited so long, and I'm not going to say I'm on the bandwagon. I don't know who is on the bandwagon because 2 years ago, they were the worst team attendance-wise in the National Football League, and now all of a sudden you can't get a ticket. So people are Johnny-come-latelys, that's what you say. Now, you talk about plays of the game. I'll tell you the play of the game. 38 seconds remaining to go. It was 3rd and 1. Bengals had 3rd and 1. First down, maybe they could get in there and score, get in field goal range to tie this ball game up. What they do is they hand the ball off to Perine, okay? Samaje Perine, who gained 2 total yards in all the playoff games. You don't go to a number 2 running back. Mm. You give it to your number 1 guy. Why is that play called? I don't know. You could second guess from today to tomorrow. That was one of the key plays I thought in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Rams defense was such a story for the game, and you know, toward the end of the game, that was the story stopping Joe Burrow on 4th down. Let's take a listen to that again from NBC Sports.
Trying to keep it going, gets spun down, gets it away, and incomplete. It looked like Perine might have had a shot to make the grab, but the Rams now.
Andy, is that a big part of the story here? I mean, just the Rams defense, as you talked about?
Well, I think, honestly, you know, I hate to cry in my beer, but I think the officiating is a factor as well. I mean, the officiating was so clean. There were no penalties whatsoever. Next thing you know, got back-to-back penalties against the Bengals, holding penalties, and basically took them out of the game at the end. But that's just the way it goes. You can't blame the officials. But it was kind of strange because there was no penalties up until that point, and then all of a sudden you got back-to-back penalties against the Bengals, so that's a possibility there. But again, you know, going into this ball game, everybody said the weak link of the Cincinnati Bengals was their offensive line. They held up fairly decently until that fourth quarter, and I think it was something like 7 sacks against Joe Burrow in that second half of the ball game. So they just collapsed, and that basically was it. You got Aaron Donald, who basically, in my heart of hearts, is not the best defensive player in the National Football League. He's the best player in the National Football League.
Mm. Jonas, what about the refs? There was that questionable no call on the Bengals' first touchdown in the second half, and then, of course, the Bengals' defense got called for a couple flags on that last drive when the Rams scored and went ahead.
Yeah, to Andy's point, and I don't think it's crying into beer, which, by the way, it's good to see that he's still drinking. Yesterday's game wasn't enough, but he needed to keep drinking. But anyways, like the idea that you wouldn't call those plays and you wouldn't make those calls earlier in the game, but then you're going to make them in the most critical times of the game. It's like, you know, driving 5 miles over the speed limit for years, and then all of a sudden one day the cop decides he's going to give you a ticket. Well, like, why'd you let me go all the other times? Like, they didn't make any of those calls earlier in the game. And then at the most critical moments, they pull out the flags, and it just really sort of tainted what I thought was a fun game to watch, because they were letting these guys play in the biggest moments in the biggest game of the year.
Yeah. Let me ask you briefly about the halftime show. I mean, it was in LA and they brought the stars out for sure. Jonas, there was some controversy with this year's halftime when Eminem finished his song and he took a knee. How did that play, you think?
I think people are okay. I think they're better now with being able to express yourself than maybe they would have been in years past, to where we've seen players take a moment when they've got an opportunity and the spotlight is on to showcase something that's important to them, to show some sort of a unity and a unified front. And I think they were okay with it. I think people were really overall pleased with the halftime show. You know, my wife was watching it. I think people love seeing that many stars on stage. It had a real L.A. feel to it. You know, Snoop Dogg brought out, you know, some other paraphernalia, which we don't need to get into. But, you know, there's all of that that comes along with it. But overall, I think people were pretty pleased by it. And we're happy to see, you know, Eminem be able to get to express himself.
Andy, did you watch halftime?
I certainly do. Why would you ask me that question? I mean, what am I going to do? Go to the movies? I mean, come on. Of course I watched halftime. I'm like Mary Kay. She's from my neighborhood. She's from New York, you know? And I think it was great to have them all in one place at one time. But it's funny. I checked social media after the game just out of curiosity, not so much because of the game, but because of the halftime. And it was so much fun to read that everybody over the age of 50 disliked halftime. They didn't like, they couldn't stand it. I think everybody under the age of 45, 50 loved halftime. It was crazy. You just look at the demos on that situation. It was unreal. It really was.
All right. Finally, let me go to you, Jonas. What this means, this victory means for LA. The Rams paid huge money to put together this superstar team, supposedly Super Bowl or bust.
I think it's a big deal. It justifies every move that they made. They took a completely different approach here. You got to think, teams in the NFL build through the draft. They try and find their own players, et cetera, et cetera. The Rams kept maxing out their credit cards, kept swinging big to try and bring in star players, to try and show you can do this a la what teams do in the NBA to try and win a championship, and it ended up working out. They got some help from the officials. It wasn't always the prettiest thing in the world. Stafford threw a couple of interceptions, but ultimately it paid off, and now they're Super Bowl champs.
And Andy in Cincinnati, what does it mean for that fan base? Three trips to the Super Bowl, three crushing losses.
Yeah, it certainly is, but I think this was a little different because no one expected this. You talk about expectations in sports, and the expectations for this Cincinnati Bengals team this year was something like in the neighborhood of 5 or 6 wins. So you look at a team that had won 2 games 2 years ago. Last year they were 4-11-1, and to go to the Super Bowl, that's an unbelievable turnaround. So I think the future looks bright. You would think the future looks bright, and maybe it looks even brighter for Cincinnati than L.A. because there's rumors now that Sean McVay's going to pack it in soon. Andrew Whitworth, the man of the year, who was a former Cincinnati Bengal, I'm happy for him. He got a ring. He's going to probably retire. Aaron Donald mentioned retirement, so I think the Bengals may be in good stead right now for the future.
That's Andy Furman, Fox Sports Radio Talk in the Cincinnati area, and Jonas Knox, Fox Sports Radio Talk Show host in the L.A. area. Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.